Leaders are all around us, at all times, and in every area of our lives. They motivate, they risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, LaVita Brown, President and CEO of the Centex African American Chamber of Commerce and Centex African American Leadership Institute. She serves on numerous boards and committees, including the Board of Central Texas YMCA and the Steering Committee for Today's Action, Tomorrow's Leaders. Hosting the conversation is Liz Taylor, Director of the Waco Convention Center. This interview was recorded June 8, 2011, in the KWBU studio.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, talking today with LaVita Brown. I guess it's best if we get started with some briefly things.
Okay.
Talking about background, like where you're from, a little bit about your family, maybe some of your dreams and ambitions. I know you have lots of them.
Yes, I do. I am a Texan, a native Texan. I've been in up north, and they just swear that I am not a Texan. I don't know what that means, but I am a Texan. I'm proud of it. I'm a gun-toting Texan.
Oh, my goodness.
I grew up in a small town, small community, Midway, Texas, 350 people.
There you go. That is a small town.
Yes.
But I've heard of Midway.
Right. And half of them are my cousins.
Okay.
My cousin and I could not wait to leave Midway, and so we headed for the big city of Dallas, and I love Dallas, and that's where I raised my children.
And see, I thought you were from Dallas.
No.
Because I know you spend a lot of time in Dallas.
I love Dallas.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're talking about leadership, and I think we probably are here together talking about leadership because we both have leadership roles in our community and in this community and in our lives, in our families and otherwise. And so thinking of all of that, let's talk about influences. Who has had great influences on you in your life as a leader?
Well, I hate stereotypes, but I came up in a stereotype family.
Okay.
I had some strong women who I sat at their feet and learned to be compassionate about the family and our legacy and our heritage and the community in general. Coming from a small town, empowering the community and making a difference was just something that was bred into me. And my father, being a Baptist minister, didn't help much because I'm compassionate about making a difference. I believe we have an obligation to make the world a better place than when we arrived.
Tell me about some of those strong women, if you don't mind.
Share who some of them were. I'm just going to be open and honest. I had a Siddiqui grandmother.
Okay.
She was a leader. She was all about making things beautiful and all about being elegant and being a diplomat. So I learned that from my dad's mom.
Okay.
But I had a strong country grandmother in Midway, Texas. And she was all about strength and hard work and tenacity and just nurturing and loving and making a difference. And she was one of those Bible-toting, Bible-talking, Bible-teaching individuals. And I just sat at her foot. My mother was an only child. My grandmother on my mother's side, only had two grandchildren. So we were spoiled, smothered, nurtured, and not spoiled, smothered, and nurtured at the same time. But we grew up on a small town, that small farm. My grandmother had 10 acres, and she was my first exposure. I take that back. Her father was my first exposure to entrepreneurship. We didn't know it was entrepreneurship, but that's exactly what it was. They lived and they survived off of the land, and they didn't work for anyone.
Okay, that's great. What kinds of things what kind of memories do you have about, you might not have recognized it as leadership, but what kind of memories do you have about learning lessons about working with people?
Well, I I learned very early that I was a people watcher. I used to love to watch people, and I learned a lot just from watching people. But the lessons that I learned most was that I think it was in my family, it was not something they asked you, do you want to be a leader? It was expected. Okay. So I was groomed and trained from a little girl to lead, and I knew that that was the role that I had to play. I started out as a little girl in Sunday school being a leader.
Okay.
And before I knew it, I was the Sunday school secretary, and then I hate to tell people I was I led singing in the choir. My mother was a choir director.
We're not going to ask you to sing here.
Thank you. I do not care to sing publicly, but those were roles that were just they were the ones I was going to walk in whether I wanted to or not. But I appreciate that.
Okay, so how does that translate today to roles that you play as a leader? Maybe roles that you don't necessarily look for, but they're your roles anyway.
Well, I tell people that I was basically shy and introverted, and no one believes me.
No one believes that, do they?
But again, I was groomed to lead, and leaders just lead. And I think I do it even when I don't know I'm doing it. I walk in and I see maybe opportunities to lead, and I just do it.
You see something that needs to be done.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm a Nike girl. I just do it.
Just do it. and learned probably early on that you don't necessarily you don't wait around for someone to detail out the things that need to be done, because if nobody else is doing it, let's just get on board. I know that's some of my background too.
Right.
And I grew up in a farm or on a farm, and we just had roles that we had to play, and you had to
right.
make up your mind.
It was nothing but leading the cows back
that's
home.
Right. Well, and you had to make up your mind that's what needed to be done. So if nobody else is going to do it, here I am. I'm doing it, and I've got to step up. And
yeah, I grew up in an environment where if it wasn't somebody's responsibility, was you.
That's right. Yeah, nobody else was going to do it. It was not waiting around for someone
right.
else. What do you think are some of the important decisions that a leader makes? I know in your role right now, you have to you're juggling basically two major organizations in this community, one that's off the ground and rolling really well thanks to you, and the other one is one that was kind of birthed from that, and you guys are starting to step up and take on more and more. So what are some of the important decisions that a leader has to make?
I believe a leader has to, first of all, have a vision. You've got to develop the vision and hash out the vision in your own mind. And then once you get all the pieces together, you have to develop a team. And then as you develop the team, you have to teach the team the vision. Help them understand where you're going.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thinking about vision, where do you think great ideas come from?
Well, we can say from ourselves, but it comes from our experiences, and I thank God for a lot of the visions that I have.
Okay. Well, let's talk about ideas and things like that, and stuff that maybe you've experienced in your life, maybe times in your life where coming up with a great idea change the course of what you're doing in life or something. I know that's happened to you.
Well, I worked at the Small Business Development Center. I loved it. I had a passion for it. But I thought there was nothing better that I could do than to work there. But working there, you had SBA had a set of rules and regulations that you had to follow. They had the same mission, the same vision for helping businesses grow and prosper, but they had different vehicles to for you to get there.
Okay.
And I saw opportunities. I saw things that we could not do that needed to be done, because 73% of all businesses fail the first year they're in operation. And so one of the things that I looked at when we restructured this organization was the things that were missing in Waco that needed to be done.
Good deal. What I want to talk about leadership characteristics and stuff, but to go there, I thought let's talk about people. Tell me who some great leaders are that you contemporary today, some great leaders, and then, you know, maybe historically, people you've looked up to, maybe personally, but also professionally.
I believe that one of the leaders that I looked up to tremendously was Madam C.J. Walker, first woman self-made millionaire, woman that was a self-made millionaire in the country was Madam C.J. Walker. So I looked up to her entrepreneur spirit. I looked up to Dr. Martin Luther King for his leadership style, you know, being a humble leader, being a leader that was approachable, and also being a leader who was willing to take on the challenge and big challenges. And then I look at my father, who was, again, a Baptist minister, who made a difference where he was. And then I look toward some of the leaders here in our community. I think I look toward some of the elected officials that we have and some of the tremendous leaders that we have had in the community. If I start naming them, I'll miss someone.
That's right.
So I won't call names.
Okay. For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm talking with LaVita Brown, President and CEO of the Syntex African American Chamber of Commerce. And we're talking about leaders and leadership. Let's keep talking about some people, because I know for me, strong people, men or women, strong people have always helped me by their model. Sometimes figure out some of those hard and important decisions and where I want to go. So can you think of any occasions where you've been confronted with or in the middle of a situation or trying to work something out with a group and you thought, now what would Madam CJ, what would she do?
I've been in situations where I thought about what someone said. If one of our great leaders was President Abraham Lincoln, mm-hmm. and someone said that if you're in the middle of a dilemma and you're wondering how to proceed, take a penny out and look at his picture and think, what would Abraham Lincoln have done in this situation? Being a gracious leader. Also, I think about Martin Luther King, how he would lead, what were some of the things that he would do in that situation. And then I believe that he had the ability to bring people together of different backgrounds, different faiths, different cultures, but he had the ability to be glue, to touch people yeah. where they are and to make them feel that they were valued and they were important and to bring people in. And I think those are some of the situations that I would say I love to make everyone feel important. I love to try to include everyone in whatever's going on.
So as far as character traits for a leader, being able to be inclusive and see multiple perspectives is probably something that you practice yourself as well as look for.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
I believe that I think I'm against this approach of America being a melting pot. A melting pot, you know, just brings everybody together and assimilates them. I think I like the approach of America should be a salad where we respect and include everyone, their strengths, their weaknesses, their differences. And a salad has much more flavor mm-hmm. than a melting pot.
Absolutely. A melting pot, everything sort of runs together. That's true.
So that's my that's approach true. To projects and people.
What do you think poses some of the greatest threats to leaders today, whether that's leadership or just particularly leaders, what leaders have to deal with today?
I believe that some of the traits that I talked about early, we have such a fast-paced, busy society. I believe that we're not preparing the next generation to be leaders. I believe as mothers and grandparents, we have an obligation to give value and not let the television or the iPod or all these rap videos and whatever feed all this negativity into people's heads. We're not preparing them. They're exposed to so much. And living in a high-paced community and society, we're not taking the time to nurture the next generation of leaders.
Okay. Now, I've gone through lots of seminars and studied and read a lot of stuff about that very topic, the idea that every generation kind of believes that it's that they're unique, but then, you know, after a while, the realization comes around that this generation was just like a previous generation. Maybe technology is different. Maybe educational contributions have been different, but the traits of the leadership, basically, they are always pretty much the same from generation to generation. Do you think that's valid?
I believe people are people regardless. I believe that people make choices, and some generations make better choices than others.
That's a good way to put it, I guess. That's a good way to put it. But leadership from generation to generation, do you have a sense of what's going on in our country today? Do you have any feeling you want to comment on regarding, you know, what's happening with leadership? I mean, I see CEOs of, I mean, multimillionaire CEOs now, you know, are coming out at 14 and 15 years old because they are inventing the next great technological whatever, and they are going to be they are leaders. Are they going to have the same impact as Martin Luther King or someone like that?
I'm really not sure about that. One of the good things about this society, this phase, this generation is so much exposure to so much information.
Yeah,
good and bad.
That's true.
And I believe that if a leader is interested in being the best of the best, they have avenues, so many more avenues than we ever had to get the tools that they need to be successful.
Okay, so then also I'm wondering what your feelings are about the role of women in that. I mean, now just think about what you're
saying. I think women are wonderful.
Of course. But the role of women as leaders in that what you were just talking about, what we were just saying. Now where are women? Where do women fit into that? Because now we're seeing more women leaders around worldwide, prime ministers and everything else than ever before. Secretary of State right here in the United States, presidential candidates, all of this kind of stuff. Do you think that, just give me your thoughts about how that, what do you see happening with the role of women? Or do you see that it really doesn't make any difference if it's a man or a woman? It's still good. I mean, it's still leadership in that
sense.
Well,
I have to tell you, I'm biased on that. I believe that women have always been good leaders. I believe that we were never designated as leaders, well, in the past. But I believe we've always led. We were the ones who raised the children, trained the children, nurtured the children. My basic feeling about women in leadership roles as far as government, someone once said if women were heads of state, we wouldn't be sending babies or boys off to war. And I believe that women have that compassion. We're nurturers to begin with. And so we nurture those that are around us, mm-hmm. as long as we're not trying to be this, sometimes.
Smothering mothering.
Right, yeah. Right. we're either a smothering mother or we're trying to be take on the role of a man. But I believe we need to take our leadership qualities and the things that we bring to the table and lead as nurturers and as people who are, as women who are compassionate about what we believe in and believe in the sanctity of life.
Great. Great. Okay, for those of you just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, talking with LaVita Brown, President and CEO of the Syntex African American Chamber of Commerce. And okay, now let's switch over to in your field of business. Well, we've kind of talked about the future. Who do you see will be some of the great leaders coming up, or at least that you're working with, maybe in our local community, but maybe beyond that, because you're already reaching out into the all across the state of Texas with the African American Chamber. I mean, I know I've seen that.
Well, and I have to be pat my nieces on the back. I've got some fantastic nieces, and I believe that they will be the next generation of leaders because I prepared to pass on information to them that was not available to me. I see I'm working with some of the students at Baylor, and I believe that we have a young lady that's an intern at our office right now, and I believe that she's going to be a great leader. I have staff, and I love my staff, and I prepare my staff to be able to for greatness, position them for greatness wherever they are. I teach them the principles that I have learned, and I try to share with them things that I wish I had known 20 or 30 years ago.
That's great, and you do have great staff, and y'all are doing amazing things at the chamber. Okay, so what do you think are some of the greatest leadership needs right here in Waco? I mean, where are there gaps?
I just finished a class with the Waco Foundation called Leadership Planning. Oh, it is a fantastic program, and I can't wait for us to roll this program off in the community. And what the program is all about is preparing the next generation of leaders to find these leaders and those who with the skills and they don't know they have the skills, or those who want to be leaders and just don't know
how to go about it.
And so the objective is to create more leaders in Waco and to have more opportunities to have more diversity on the different boards here in Waco.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, what would you tell, I mean, you've already talked about your nieces, but what types of things would you tell these young people as they're striving, as they're getting into positions of leadership?
One of the things that MIT found out, they were producing all of these geniuses, but the geniuses couldn't hold a job. And so what they had to do was go back and teach principles of what it takes to be a professional, the image, the dress. You know, I tell young people that, look, that may be your image, but people don't pay you for your image. They're not going to pay you to come to their job and be yourself. They're going to pay you to come to their job and be what they need you to be. So I teach young people that image and dress is important. MIT found out that you could increase your credibility by 70% or more just by wearing a jacket. They also found out, they talked about the power colors.
You're talking about men just by wearing a jacket?
Men and women.
And women.
Men
okay.
and women. And also they found out that they needed to teach these individuals social skills and time management and all of those. So I think those are things that I try to pass on, that you have to be a professional, mm-hmm. that you need to learn time management, that you need to learn a professional image, and you need to position yourself and feed your mind and be prepared for greatness. I believe that too many times we are bombarded with more negativity, and it's important that we prepare ourselves to be positive and to feed our mind, feed your brain, put good stuff in so good stuff comes out. Garbage in, garbage out.
That's right. That's right. That's all great information. What do you think is happening technology-wise with our leaders and with us in regard to you know, the roles that people play. I mean, now that we are texting and everybody's, you know, sending messages this way and that way, everything to me, it seems much more impersonal. But leadership and being a good leader, you still have to be able, to me, you still have to be able to face people face to face and talk to them directly. And I don't know, I just kind of have a sense that some of our young people today are not recognizing maybe the whole value of that face-to-face eye contact, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, mm-hmm. Those kinds of interactions. Do you get a sense of that?
I get a sense of that. I think people are human beings, no matter how much technology they're exposed to, and human beings need that social touch. I remember, I guess, in the 80s, it was said that grocery stores and stores were going to be out of business because the internet was where everyone was going to shop. What they didn't realize was that human beings are social beings.
Need interaction.
They need interaction.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think we have a blessing and a curse with technology because we're always in touch and we never have that time to be to ourselves. I hear people, I sent you an email. Well, and they make the assumption that I'm checking my email on my phone. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Well, and there's also just so, there's just such a limit as to what you actually can glean from that. I mean, if I'm needing instructions, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if I want to understand what you mean, I really feel like I may need to talk to you directly.
Body language. You know, their body language has so many clues, and you miss that with that impersonal interaction.
And I do think that is something that young leaders today, young people today need. It seems crazy to me that we might have to actually teach that part of you know, as part of a curriculum, that they understand that that is as vital to be successful as understanding the components of how to make things work. But because it just seems backwards from the way, you know, you learned all the, I mean, I remember going to school and learning all the social skills and the, you know, the etiquette and all of those things. I remember Mrs. Holdridge, my sixth grade teacher, who taught us, you know, how to do place settings and things like that. You know, I don't know that I hear, I get a sense that young people today are getting that. And I know a lot of young people get that out of church and family interactions. But I think that's it's critical for the business environment as well. And I know I'm in the travel business, and, you know, understanding what happens when people, what the different things that people encounter as they travel, whether they're traveling here in Central Texas or whether they're traveling around the world. There's a lot of nuances about interacting with people. I don't know if some of the young folks are getting that the same way. And I know they're not getting it the same way we got it.
I believe a large percent are not getting that. And I believe what MIT found out is important. You can have all knowledge and technical skills, but you still have got to interact with people. We're still talking about Abraham Lincoln and,
there you go.
And Kennedy and Martin Luther King.
That's right.
And we're talking about them because their ability to connect and interact with individuals.
Well, I think we're about at the wrap-up part of our program. So I want to tell you thank you very much for coming in and visiting and
it's a privilege.
We're going to have fun. This is a great series. Thank you, Levita, for what you do for our community.
Thank you.
You've been listening to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. This and past episodes are archived online at kwbu.org.